You can turn in your Pew Bible this morning to Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 22. This is our final sermon in this series on the book of Leviticus. How many of you have enjoyed Old Testament teaching for something different? You know, and it's been a challenge. God required a lot out of his people already back then. They didn't have the word to follow, and it was all talk through Moses and given to Aaron and how they should worship and live. It's challenged me in my faith walk. I hope that it's challenged you as well, that you've learned something out of the book of Leviticus. Next week, we will begin our Advent series out of the book of Isaiah 9, verse 6, at the four different names of Christ as we enter into that. So it'll be a little change of pace for us, but a good change as well. Notice this is not the last chapter of Leviticus. I encourage you to go through and read the last few chapters on your own to get the fullness of this book. But this time, this morning, I'm going to focus on the year of Jubilee. Something quite unique about Jubilee, and we're going to learn about that this morning. So Leviticus 25, verse 8 through verse 22, and then we are going to flip back to Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. The word of the Lord, listen and follow with me. Count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Remember that verse 10. A key verse that I'm going to hit on this morning as well. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property, and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest and unattended vines. For it is a jubilee, and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. Now let me stop here and explain something so you know. Every 7 years, the ground is supposed to be to lie fallow. They weren't supposed to work it. So the 49th year would have been a fallow year. They were required not to work it. The 50th year would have been a jubilee year. So they were also required not to work the ground. So for 2 years, they were not to plant a crop at this time. So remember that. All right, as we move forward. If you sell land to one of your countrymen, or buy any from him, do not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your countrymen on the basis of the number of years since the Jubilee. And he is to sell you on the basis of the number of years left for harvesting crops. When the years are many, you are to increase the price. And when the years are few, you are to decrease the price. Because what he is really selling you is the number of crops. How many of you understand what I just talked to you about? Some of you. Let me explain that a little bit so you know, because I won't hit this in the message really this morning. And so let's say we're in the 27th year, and we have, what does that give us, 23 years to the Jubilee. So if you were to buy a farm, you only buy 23 crops, because you have to give it back then to the original family. Let's say you're in the 40th year, you only have 10 years of crop, so it's going to cost you much less to buy that farm, knowing that you're going to give that farm back to the family in year 50. That was the process there that they were working through. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the 7th year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the 6th year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the 8th year, you will eat from the old crop, and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the 9th year comes in. It's quite a blessing right there, isn't it? That our Lord gives. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Roughly on page 1596, or close to that. So Jesus here, he's in the temple. He grabs the scroll, or asks for the scroll of Isaiah. And Jesus speaks these words to the people. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recover sight of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So let me just read that to you in a different way this morning. Verse 19. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's jubilee" would be another way to pronounce that or put that into perspective this morning. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to speak to them, saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then I just want you to turn, just stay with me here. Go to verse 28. I want you to see how they reacted. "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff." That's how they responded to Jesus in the temple when he proclaimed this good news to the poor and so on. The reading of the word of the Lord. We'll unpack this a little more in the message this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that we are dependent upon your Holy Spirit to move about us and to teach us and to, Lord, to give us the words of this message today. May these words be your words and not mine. And I ask for those that have gathered here today, Lord, give them understanding, give them the ability to hear what you're saying. And Lord, may you just speak right to their hearts, their minds, and their souls. May you teach us how to live this Christian walk with you. In Jesus, we pray, amen. This morning, we look at one of the most profound concepts in all of Scripture. And you'll understand why here in just a little bit. It's so profound and different to anything we know that there's nothing like it in all of modern life. Nothing has been done like this ever in the world that we live in. Yet, it is so profoundly a part of everything that we believe in as believers in Christ and how we should live, how we should treat others, what our attitude should be like, and so on in this world. Now, we know that the Sabbath day is the seventh day, and on the seventh day, you are to what? Rest and worship. Correct. The sabbatical year, which I kind of briefed you a little bit earlier, would be the seventh year in the time of the Israelites. They were to rest, let the ground go fallow and not plant, and rely upon the bounty of God's harvest to carry them through to the next year. And then we have the year of Jubilee. 7 times 7, which is 49, would be the 49th year. And the year following that, the 50th, was to be the year of Jubilee. All debts are canceled. All prisoners are set free. Now, some of you might be thinking, what do you mean the prisoners are set free? If you were to go back to the Old Testament laws and rules, if you got out of line, what did they do with you? They took you out the city gate and they stoned you and they were gone. They were killed. The only people that were locked up were those that couldn't pay their debts. People who owed other people money is the reason why they're in jail. So all prisoners were set free. All land is given back to those who originally possessed it. A redistribution of the land. And if you know the history and the culture, every Israelite clan, and then it was broke down into family, was given a plot of land for them to work and to provide for their families. They would live off of this. This is how they raised their food and how God would provide for them from year to year. The Jubilee was a new starting point for poor people. And all of this, of course, was good news for those who were poor because they got a chance to reclaim what they had lost. It was a restart. It was a new beginning for them. Jubilee for Israel was supposed to turn economics from the dog-eat-dog world, which you and I understand, to a 50-year game with the reset button in it. The year of Jubilee was God's big reset button. It was the reboot to the whole entire way of life, the system that we even live in today, if you think about it. God said, I want to clear the field, make everybody level again, give them their land back so they can provide for their families, that they can live well in the land that I've given them. It was God's way of protecting the family structure by not allowing others to control and dominate the possession of land. So why did God create Jubilee? A good question for us this morning. Because it was his desire that his children should never live in the bondage or should never be found or bound by poverty in their lives. He did not want them to live this way. In bondage, so in bondage, what it talks about there, debts that you owed other people. Debt was canceled. You were free from that. And those who were poor maybe had to give up their plot of land because they couldn't hang on to it, and they were awarded that back, the opportunity to reestablish themselves. I also believe that Jubilee was given to make sure that people never were to take away the right of someone to provide for their family. That's a lesson for you and I as well this morning. Never are we to take away the right of someone to provide for his or her family. As Christians, we are to walk alongside to support and encourage each other. Now, here's the incredible truth about this passage this morning. Although God had given Israel this 50-year reset button, the unique opportunity to celebrate worth, express justice, to honor life, not once did Israel ever celebrate the year of Jubilee. Kind of odd, isn't it? They talked about it. They taught about it. They referred to it. But not once in their history did they ever actually celebrate it. Ever. And God gave it to him as a command. Do this. This is how I want you to live. They agreed with it. They believed it. But they never did it. As a matter of fact, by the time we get to the New Testament, a couple thousand of years later, they had still not celebrated Jubilee, not even once. Which I find quite interesting. But here's what happened. Jesus came on the scene in the book of Luke. They believed that when the Messiah came, he would bring back Jubilee. He would show them how to do it, what it looked like, what it meant, what it stood for. And so Jesus arrives on the scene in Nazareth, where he had grown up. And early one Sabbath morning, he makes his way into the temple or the synagogue as he is accustomed to. And he motions that, hey, I have something to say this morning. I'd like to speak. And they seen him and they said, yes, come on forward, come on up. And here's what Jesus says. And if you have your Bible open yet to Luke chapter 4 in those verses 17 through 21, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he unrolled it. And he looked down and he found the place where he wanted to speak from the scroll. And he said this to the people. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And recover of sight of the blind. To set the oppressed free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Jubilee. And he rolled the scroll back up and he handed it to him. And he went and sat down. What was Jesus doing? He was proclaiming the year of Jubilee to those that believed. He knew they knew about it. He knew that they learned about it. He knew that they understood it. But even profounder yet, Jesus saying, I am the Messiah. I am the Jubilee, is what he was saying to those people. You see in Isaiah, chapter 61, if you want to scratch that in your notes this morning, it said this, that the Messiah would come and he would proclaim the year of Jubilee. Jesus proclaimed it. He said it, I am he. And some of you are like, what do you mean? I'm not understanding this. So hold on here for a little bit this morning as I explain this to you. See, people that don't seem to simply have been inaugurating a Jubilee year, the people are confused. Like, what is he talking about? He's the Messiah. He's the Jubilee. Aren't we supposed to give our land back and set the prisoners free and la-da-da-da? But get this. Rather, this is what Jesus was saying to the people. I'm announcing a Jubilee age. Since you people can't celebrate it, there's something new on the scene. The kingdom of God here on earth has arrived. Heaven has come down. And there's going to be a whole new type of Jubilee that you've never experienced before. That's what's going to come. And I'm sure the people were confused. What do you mean, Jesus? And what was their response? Verse 28, which I read to you. I mean, they liked the idea. He spoke about Jubilee. They wanted that. But when they realized that he was saying that he was the Messiah, verse 28 comes in. They took him up the hill and they tried to throw him off and said, we don't need this crazy talk. This is not what we're about. He's not the Messiah. This isn't the last time that he'd be taken up a hill, neither would it. Skull Hill would also be the one. Because Jesus preached the Jubilee. He preached freedom. The message of salvation is the message of yours and my Jubilee. That's what it's about. And so now here's the challenge this morning. How are you going to understand that Jubilee in your life as you live from day to day to day? Because the world comes in and it snatches it away and you start to live for the world. And I too, because you get caught up in it. And Jesus says, this is different. This is how I want you to be, follower of Christ. The message of salvation is a message of your Jubilee. How are you celebrating that? What's that look like in your life from day to day? Let me explain something quite profound with you this morning. Did you know that our nation was founded not simply on religious freedom, but on the concept of this Jubilee? How many of you have seen the Liberty Bell or read about it or heard about it or know something about it? Anybody? Yeah, how many of you went to school? You learned about the Liberty Bell, right? Yes, but do you know what verse is on the Liberty Bell? There's one engraved on there. Here's what the saying is on that bell. This is what it says. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land until all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25, verse 10 is on the Liberty Bell. Wow. That's pretty cool. Now, I'm surprised they haven't gotten rid of the Liberty Bell yet in this nation because they're getting rid of everything else that's associated with God. But Leviticus 25, verse 10 is on the Liberty Bell. And that speaks of the year of Jubilee. The freedom we have in Christ is what they're getting at to you and I. That's what our country is founded on. We've come a long ways from that today, which I find quite interesting. So what is this message of Jubilee for us today? How is that supposed to look? What are you learning? What do you want to know about it? And so I have some things I want to bring out this morning. It is a message of forgiveness. Jesus says to us this morning, I forgive you. I cleanse you from all sin. We prayed this morning and we examined our hearts this morning and that's what God says, I forgive you. He understood the power of forgiveness. He hung on the cross and he uttered those incredibly powerful words, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. They don't understand. The message of Jubilee is a message of forgiveness. The good news is that your debt of sin has been forgiven forever. Gone. Now we got to believe that. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Some of you might be remembering your sins and hanging on to that. And God says, forget those things and move on. Get rid of that dead weight and that baggage. I've forgotten it. Why haven't you? Jubilee is also a message about freedom. In biblical days, if you incurred a debt and somehow became unable to pay it, you enslaved yourself or a member of your family to your creditor to work off the balance of your debt, or you're thrown in jail. You made it right with them. That was how the rule of the land, the law, worked. These Jews who heard Jesus' words did not understand what freedom was. What do you mean, Jesus, that we're going to let the prisoners go free and all debts are canceled? That's not what we were taught. See, they weren't understanding the year of Jubilee. And here's the interesting point. Believers, back then, believers today, we don't consider ourselves to be slaves. But hold on to that idea here for a minute as I talk to you about this. The words of the scroll that Jesus read that day in the synagogue said the message that the Messiah would proclaim included freedom of the captives. What are you captive to, people? Sin. We are captive to sin. You can't get away from it. You can't deal with it on your own. You're not good enough. None of us are. So think about this morning. It does not matter what has got you captive this morning. The message of Jubilee is freedom. So let me just rattle a few things off for you. The good news of Jubilee is that there's freedom from slavery to sin. There's freedom from bondage to Satan or from ourselves. And the tyranny of our human nature that you and I don't need to live under there anymore. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8 verse 36. Freedom in Christ. See, a lot of us forget to celebrate that freedom, that joy that we must have inside of ourselves. And so what do you need freedom from this morning? Do you need freedom from fear? Freedom from oppression? Freedom from slavery of your past? Maybe freedom from your weaknesses that, you know, I'm not good enough. Maybe it's to how you think you look. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not strong enough. Whatever it might be, freedom from your failures. You see, Jesus says, I've come to free all of that. You don't live under that anymore. Amen? That's how we're supposed to live. The year of Jubilee has arrived. And here's the thing that I just love to celebrate. It's also a message about restoration. How many of you like to restore stuff? Bring the old and bring it back to life. Make it look like new again. Think about restoration. One of the incredible promises of Jubilee was that if you had sold your land or lost your land in a debt situation, whatever it might be, somehow you got separated from your land as an Israelite, in the year of Jubilee, it was given back to you at no cost. The family arrived and they said, yep, this is you. That's according to the word of God. Even though they didn't practice this because they couldn't figure it out for some reason, this is what God wanted it to be like. And the Israelites are supposed to teach the Gentiles at some point, this is how we should all live. Why? Because the land was really the Lord's. And they were simply the tenants. You see, restoration is about giving back what Satan has stolen from you. Isn't that exciting? Think about the things that Satan has stolen from you in your life, your health. Maybe it's part of your marriage isn't going very well, or your work life or your career is not going well, or whatever it might be. Satan steals those things. And this is a verse about restoration. Psalm 23, how many of you read that psalm before? Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul." See, there it is again. The year of Jubilee, that all things will be restored. And as a Christian, we look forward to that day when we are all together in heaven, when it will be fully restored. Everything will be given back to you. And more. And you know what? I don't think most of us even grasp what that's like or even understand the concept of more in the presence of Christ. Your hope will be restored. Your trust will be restored. Your love will be restored. You will have peace. Your health will be restored. Your calling will be restored in this life. I truly believe that God will continue to do great work. And it also is a message about faith. The year of Jubilee. The year before Jubilee was the 49th year. That meant it was a sabbatical year. And I explained a little bit to this about this already. One of the rules for the sabbatical year was that you were not allowed to plant any crops. The land had to lie fallow. Don't farm it. You could eat the crop that grew naturally. So, you know, if you were out there and they hand-shelled everything and you dropped a little bit of wheat or whatever, and next year there'd be the volunteer wheat that came up, you could eat that. You were allowed to harvest that and to eat that, but you by no means were to plant anything. Don't till it. In the Jubilee year, you had to do the same thing. Now, how many of you in here, we come from a farming community, how many of you could continue to farm if you couldn't farm for 2 years? I don't think any of you could go without two crops. And if you're in the workforce, try not taking a paycheck for 2 years. It would be tough, wouldn't it? But this is how the Israelites lived, and God said, "I will provide enough for you in that 6 year to cover the next 2 years for you, no problem. I will bless you." Do you think that the Israelites ever doubted God in the midst of this? So maybe, you know what? I don't know if I quite trust God that He's going to provide for us for 2 years. Maybe we shouldn't practice Jubilee. I'm sure there's many that thought that. They're not any different than you and I. You see, it takes faith to follow Christ. And so are you going to trust Him with the things that are going on in your life today? 2 years without a crop. You go over into South Dakota, you might find some farmers that might be living that out in their lives at the wet springs we've had. And here's the point I want to make with you this morning. It was a season of great faith if they would have lived out Jubilee in their life. 1 John 5, verse 4, bottom of your screen. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith." That's encouragement this morning. Here's the simple message of faith that I want to share with you this morning. So simple, you're like, what? And here it is. God's in control. That's it. It's that simple for the things that go on in your life. And so here's the next question that I want to present to you. Can you and I trust Him no matter what's going on in our life? That's faith. When you have the diagnosis of cancer, or you're like Justin Brower right now that doesn't understand what's going on in his body and they don't have answers, do you have faith to get through that? Do you trust God that whatever the outcome is going to be, He's in control? That's faith. Excuse me, that's faith. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It doesn't matter what's happening on the political level or who's in the White House or anything else. God is in control, period. We were having a conversation out there in the entryway this morning, and the Methodist Church is going through the same thing the Reformed Church is with all this human sexuality, and looks like the Methodist Church is going to split, and I don't think the Reformed Church is too far behind that. But here's the thing this morning. It doesn't matter what happens. If we stick to the truth of Scripture, God is in control. I have faith that God's going to see the church through this. It might look different, but God is still in control. And so here's the point I want you to think about this morning. It's time to stop listening to all those thoughts that roll around in your mind and get us worried and worked up. And it's time to start empowering our faith to remind ourselves that God is in control and to rest in that, to have peace in the midst of all of those things. Jubilee is a message about forgiveness, about freedom, about restoration, and about faith. And so we have a lesson in confidence in our Lord this morning that should encourage us in our daily life. These are the promises. Does anybody remember the key verse of Leviticus that I started out this series with? It's on the screen if you need to look. Leviticus 11, verse 45. The whole key to the book of Leviticus of what God wanted us to do as his followers. You shall therefore be holy as I am holy. That's his command to us. God calls you and I to be holy people. He calls us to draw close to him and to trust and obey him. No amount of good works, our religious efforts can make a sinner holy. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us from our sin. And so if you've learned throughout this entire book of Leviticus, which we've been preaching on here since August, about what it looks like to be holy in our lives and how to draw closer to God in our lives. And then he calls us to be a holy nation, a holy church. Here in Inwood, Iowa, we are to look different than the rest of the world. We are to stand apart in our faith to Christ. And so when God said, "Be holy for I am holy," are you listening to those words in your life? It's my challenge for you in this series that we are a holy people. We continue to strive for those things from day to day. And we walk together as one in the family of God. And we by all means bear each other's sorrows and burdens, our joys, and the happiness that comes from the Word of God. So when you leave here today, put a smile on your face. Because this is the year of Jubilee. You live it. You're in it until Christ calls you home. Amen?